Boy, oh boy, ain't that the truth. I am nervous. I look out here, though, and boy, I'm so blessed and thankful. You guys are my family, my church family, and you've been such an encouragement in my life, labored with me. I know you guys have been praying for me. I don't have any fear in me. It's just that natural flesh in me. It just, you know, you get scared. We're naturally, but I was telling this to Tivia, you're just not used to talking to yourself, and you just got to get used to it. I tried to do it last night. I was in the bedroom, and boy, it wasn't good. So I said, oh, Lord, you got to do it. So, yeah, but I look out, I'm so comfortable with my family, my brothers, and I appreciate all you guys being here and praying for me, laboring with me. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And Lord, we just got to plant seed, and that's all I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. And it ain't my job whether you understand to get the Holy Spirit guides you, he teaches you, the Lord does the increase. So we just got to be faithful. And I appreciate, I know it's hard for us to get, there's a lot of stuff going on out here in the country that is, it's troubling. And it's been a tough year and a half for us. We had to protect Dixie for all this time. We couldn't go out and do much. And I know that's how a lot of y'all are right now. And I understand. And it's okay to protect those you love when you've got this plague out here just wiping people out. But I pray that God doesn't give you fear tonight. And we just protect him to, we ask him to protect us from anything that would come in here. He's been good to us. I haven't got COVID yet. Been around it a lot of times. I give all the glory to God for that, and it's just amazing. I've had so many close contacts and never got it, and I'm thankful because Dixie, we got to have a funeral for my mother-in-law, and that meant a lot to us that we could gather here and celebrate her life in heaven. And you know what? She encouraged me so much. And I didn't plan on talking about her tonight, but she always encouraged me to be a preacher someday. And I'm thankful for people. You guys, you're my encouraging family tonight. And I want to talk about, you know, what God's done in me, what I've got the power to do from Him. I've struggled my whole life with drugs and alcohol. And it's not a fun road to go on. And I want to teach you tonight what God has shown me in His Word. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 6:12. Right now, I want to talk about what we're fighting, and it's not it's not each other. You know, we fight each other a lot. We fight so many different things, but this fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual warfare out here. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12, says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice that the fight isn't with flesh and blood. That means it's not against your friend who's did you wrong. It's not against your brother that offends you. Because listen, we're going to offend each other all the time. Those we care about the most, we're going to hurt each other. We're going to let each other down. And your family's going to hurt you when they mess up. But we can't fight each other over. We got to know that there's a spirit working against us. It's not against your spouse. We tend to think it is whenever we're struggling. Your spouse has cheated on you. Your spouse has cheated on you and lying about it. It's not against her or him. There's a spirit at work there that is just influencing that life. It's not against your son that can't get off drugs or alcohol. It's not against him. It's not against your brother. It's not against each other. What it is, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. Notice that there's a spirit at work here. Let's pray real quick. Father, I need your anointing, Lord. Father, I need you to slow my mind down, God. As you give me the grace, humble your servant, God. Hide me behind the shadow of your cross, Father. I don't want to be here, Lord, but you want me to be here. My flesh hates it. But Lord, the Spirit is willing, God. We need you to speak to us, Father. Open our hearts to receive your engrafted word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, I hope you weren't expecting a superstar preacher tonight. All I got is God's word and the God-given right that he's given me. And we got to get this old mind slow down. See, I've had, from the age of 15 to 32, I used a lot of drugs. And it wasn't just pot. I liked smoking pot and taking pills, but I was a heavy meth user. Everything under the sun, but what the Bible says, "What's God is not mocked." I've sown in my flesh in the past. Okay, my mind tends to jump all over the place, and I've sown in my flesh, and I've reaped the corruption from it. God isn't mocked; that's just a consequence I've had to pay. But Lord will use anybody if you just stand up for His word and you just tell people about it. So I want to tell you in Ephesians 2, remember what we're fighting against, not each other. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world." And this course, it's going down, not up. "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." I want you to pay attention to that right there. The prince of the power of the air. Remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities. The prince of the power there, it's the devil, the god of this world. That principality means he makes the rules for earth. It's amazing. Everybody's used like puppets, but it's that spirit that's working in them. The end of that verse says, "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You got to get a hold of that. It's a spiritual thing, and you got to have spiritual discernment to understand what's going on. The book of John, the pastor mentioned this Sunday, the book of John mentions that the prince of the world is mentioned three times in the book of John. When we're watching the news, if you're into that stuff, I tend to stay away from it, but you're going to see a lot of politicians making up rules. You're going to like, what is going on here? They're not. It's not them. It's a spirit that's working through them. Satan's using them like puppets. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I like how it says it here. Brother Matt said, "I preached my first sermon. Boy, we had altar call. People, God was just moving." So my second sermon, I went up, looked at my notes. He wasn't praying like he ought. He said, "I couldn't understand all hieroglyphics. Just nothing made sense. And I can see everything. Just my mind is racing. So I think I'm right with the Lord right now. I can still understand. It's still in English. It's good." That encouraged me. I knew it was going to be a tough one. "But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." That's right. Unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They literally have no idea what's going on because they're blinded. They can't see. They have no idea what's going on. They're consumed with their own lust, and they're on a power trip. They're just so greedy and power driven. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says, "Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied." We want and we want and we want and we want and. The eye is never satisfied. They're never going to be satisfied, no matter how much power they get, however much money they get. They're just consumed upon it. That word says it. So we know that we're fighting against the spiritual warfare. We're also fighting against the world. Turn to 1 John 2, verse 15. As you turn there, I want to remember what James chapter 4, verse 4 says. It says, a friendship of the world is an enmity of God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. People don't like hearing that, though. You know, you hear that. You got to have a little discernment here, because the friendship of the world is the enmity of God. That means, you say, Brother Sean, what about John 3:16? God so loved this world. Yeah, the world in John 3:16 is us, his creation, his people. That is us. He loves the people. He loves us so much. Even in our worst sin, the worst of your sin, back when I was getting high, selling drugs, teaching others to use drugs and teaching them how to sell drugs, the blaspheming in the name of God, everything. He seen me and he still thought I was worth saving through all that. That's just that real love. Not loving with your mouth, but in deed and in truth. But God's love is so much deeper than even that. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's where I get that from. Even in your deepest, darkest moment, he's waiting, calling you. But you know what? I don't have this in my notes. When I got saved, the book of Romans chapter 1, it scared me, because there comes a time when there is too late. He'll seal your mind with a hot iron, and there ain't no coming back from it. That Bible, there's some fear in it. I fear the Lord, and since he died for us, we ought to not care for the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's of the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what the world is. You see, everywhere you look, there's lust. You see lust in the car driving next to you, walking up the street, coming out of a store, on a shelf, on someone's finger, on someone's body. Lust after tattoos, people's feet, just shoes, on TV. The TVs, we always won. We're just constantly lusting. So it just goes on and on. That's the only thing that you're going to fight. That's the other thing you're going to fight is yourself, your flesh, all that lust. It's not good for anything. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen? Come on. Isn't that the truth, though? Our flesh, it never get enough. It's never satisfied. We love us and me, and that's the pride of life. There's a chapter in Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 12. I think this describes why. Turn there, Ezekiel 28, verse 12. To me, that's a description of Satan or Lucifer. And it tells you what got him kicked out of heaven. It was his pride. We get a look at that. Starting in verse 12, Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. It was beautiful. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. A little side note right here. I think Satan was a musician. It talks about his tabrets and his pipes. He still is a musical god. You better watch what you're listening to. Hey, be not deceived. God is, wrong verse. Evil communication corrupts good manners. God said, be ye holy for I am holy. Let no evil, you got to watch your mouth. So when you're listening to music and stuff, it corrupts you. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Back to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Remember, we're talking about our pride here, the definition of pride, how bad it is. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled up the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings, that they may behold thee. So we understand that pride, it's evil. That's one of the things that are of the world. I like that definition of joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. You got to put yourself in the bottom. Stop being so selfish, being worldly. I want to finish the, so we're talking about what we're warring against. So principalities, and we're battling against the world, our flesh. I heard a quote in FBI the other night. I didn't catch all of it or the name, but I had wrote it down in my book. It said, anything that draws you away from having the desire to perform God's will, it is of the world. I thought that was good. So now that we know what we're fighting, I want to preach on how do we fight. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to verse 17. Well, you know that, right? It's your Bible. That's how you fight. Amen? You ain't got no other choice. You got to have this word in you. This is the good stuff right here. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Right there, you got to be saved to be able to use this word, by the way. So you got the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I like the example that Jesus shows for us in Matthew 4, how he uses scripture to fight Satan. And you know what? That's what you ought to be doing whenever you get when he gets by you and you know he's there. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Notice the tactics right here. He goes when you're most vulnerable. Remember, he's a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's subtle, he's patient, and he's mastered the art. So he came after Jesus when he was hungered. And when the tempter came in, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'd finished this, drawing this out last night. I was up till 1:40 in the morning, and that's when I finally got up off the island in the kitchen. I had a sermon off of Matthew 7. I've been working. I announced my calling about 2.5 weeks ago, and Pastor he wanted to throw me out there pretty quick, and I thought it was a challenge, and I knew it was going to help me. I knew I wasn't going to do a good job, but as long as I get God's word out, you know, I've got to learn the technique of being a pastor. I've got to be comfortable with speaking and just, you know, long-suffer with me tonight and bear some fruit. But I need this, I need to learn how to speak to others about God's word. And I knew it was just, it's going to be a growing process. And I love that you guys are here with me, and I'm still hoping that God will use this message. So we noticed that when Satan left, we learned the next tactic. We need to submit ourselves to God, just like he was submitted to his father and doing his father's will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James was at 4, verse 7. Submission does not come easy for most people. But remember, in order to have victory in your battles, you're going to have to submit to the authority in God's word. You have to. It doesn't work unless you do. How can I learn? The next is, how can I learn how to use God's word? You got to read the instructions. Drink your milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. We get stuck as a babe. We need to drink our milk. But you notice, a baby can't drink milk himself. He needs help. So you know what we've got here? We've got a church, but we'll teach you, but you have to have the desire, like Peter said. You have to have that desire. And if you have a hunger, thirst for God's word, come to us. We that's what we do. We break bread. We go to Brother Alex's house, my house. We get together, we fellowship, we read God's word together. We bring each other's burdens, and we pray together. And it's sweet. There ain't nothing like it. And I want to encourage you guys who are struggling, or you just want to know more about God. Hey, this is what we do. If you're not doing it, holler at us. That's my favorite thing to do in the world is fellowship with my brothers, sharpen each other up, get to know each other, bear each other's burdens. And you know, we kind of missed out over the last 2 years since Dixie got sick, and it was a trial of my faith. It was hard going through that time. We had to just protect her by not, that stupid COVID. I mean, I'm over it. And I am over it. And I believe in being diligent over the disease. But I had to be so careful. We couldn't have contact with a lot of people. We came to church maybe twice in a year. It's so hard on our spirit. Watching it online is just not the same as coming to the house of God. You know, I was glad when they said, "Let's go to the house of God." I want to encourage you guys. You have a church family here. If you don't have a church family, you need to have one. And if you don't, you need Christian friends, real Christians who love this word, love this Bible. No idea where we're at now. I guess we could just freestyle the rest of it, huh? But really, I can't give you the desire, like Peter said, that's the Holy Spirit's job. But what you can do is ask God for help. So when you get that milk and you start drinking it, we need to find out how we understand the scriptures. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." Do you have wisdom? Do you? There's no problem with getting wisdom. It's yourself. Are you too? You worldly or fleshly? You sow into the flesh. You don't want wisdom if you don't have it. It's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. He's ready to teach you, and he's ready to give you wisdom. Jeremiah 33:3, Brother Casey, "Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You got to call unto God. You got to call unto him, and he will answer you. He's been so good to me. I learn every day. I have a desire to serve God, and it's, you know, I look at my life and I was so encouraged by who God uses in the Bible. That's why I'm up here tonight, because he doesn't look for a super spiritual big giant guy or anything. He looked for the people, the lowly in heart, the foolish of this world to confound the wise. And I look at myself and I'm like, it's hard for me to remember or to read or do anything, but God's not looking for that, you know, anybody special. He's looking for people who will stand up for this word and stand up for his son, the one that paid our penalty. You know, that's all he wants. He wants someone to stand up for this word, stand up for each other. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Start at verse 5. We got to depend on God. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 5, yeah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You believe God's word? You know, that's your faith. There's only one way to get your faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Another key verse is Hebrews 11:6. You guys say in Proverbs chapter 3, I want to go back to that real quick. Let me turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. All right, I got it wrote down. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You got to put that in your heart right there. We think totally opposite of that. And God is interested in your faith, not your works, not how much you give. He wants your faith. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hey, well, I take that back. Sometimes your faith is given to God. I remember, this is a side note, when I first got saved, me and Tivia, we had that Matthew 6:33 was our first verse. She was a nurse. She made a lot more money than me. I was making $13 an hour, and when I got led to the Lord, one of the first things I had understood was, you know, when you're reading this Bible, all you have to do is believe it. And God will take care of the rest. You just read it, you believe it. And so I came across Matthew, and this is one of these verses. I was new to the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was making $13 an hour. And it didn't even matter to me anymore. Me and Tia, we got so happy that we didn't have to worry about how much money I made, and God was going to take care of us, and He has ever since. I mean, we've never had to. He's never given us a lot of money. He gives us exactly what we need, and I pray that because that was one of the things that God had delivered me from was my greed. I was a very greedy man. Made a lot of money in my old lifestyle, and when God got a hold of me, he took all that from me, and it was an amazing thing. You know, I think that's one of the qualifications of being a preacher is you really can't care for money if you want God to use you, and I'm so thankful that I don't have that desire for money anymore. We need it to pay the bills, and yeah, he's given me way more than I need, but I'm so thankful I just don't have to care about money anymore, because that was a big one. I, you know, from the time I was 18 to 32 years old, I was either in jail, in prison, in a rehab, or in probation. Almost 8 years of it was in the penitentiary. And I know I can share that with you guys because you're real believers. You understand how God, he makes you a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And, I was, it was bad, folks. I got arrested first time when I was 18. Guns and drugs, and tried to do good, get bad, got on drugs, repeat, got caught with a gun, 5 more years in the federal prison. I wasn't even going to share my testimony, but God just put it on my heart right now. I had 5 pages of it written down, and I'm talking to Tivy, and she's like, no, you can't say that. You can't say those things. They don't need to know that much detail, and I'm not even going into that detail, but I'm telling you, I just want to share a little bit of it to let you know what he's done to me. I mean, I used to roll, you're looking at an old thug. I was a gangster. I mean, you wouldn't know now, because God had made a new person. I was affiliated with Bloods, Crips, SAs, everybody. I was a high level, I ran an organization, and money was what I made. I was very smart mathematically. I figured out how to weigh, and I sold everything. And I had a lot of greed in my heart. I don't even know what I wanted it for. One time I had my apartment door kicked in. I got held at gunpoint, me and 3 other girls, and they took close to $20,000. I was 19 years old. It was that bad. I could have lost my life. They held me on the ground with a gun to my head, and 3 innocent, girls there too. That's the way of a transgressor is hard, okay? It's hard, and after all that, I still, after I got out of the federal penitentiary, I went back to selling drugs again. I always tried to do good, though. I didn't want to go back to prison, and I'd work for a little bit, and then I got back on selling, making more money than ever when I was, a grown man and should have known better. But see, I thought I could do it and do good, and I never, this is me being a self-proclaimed Christian, going to church, born and raised my whole life, and I still did these things, rolling around with gangsters. I mean, well, you see on the news, I mean, that was me. We're shooting at houses, we're getting shot at, we're kicking in doors, tying people up. That was us. That was who God saved. When I was doing that, he seen something in me. He still had long suffered for me. He still got me out of that pit. I never deserved for God to have that. I mean, I was calling myself a Christian. I called myself a Christian doing those things. And if you don't get anything tonight, all I had to understand was this Bible was true. That's it. All I had to believe. Brother Casey, I love you, man. He labored with me. The man that played his part in leading me to the Lord. I was in this state of mind. And I had a lot of pride on me, you couldn't tell me that what I knew was wrong. Well, he long suffered with me. He labored with me, and we almost fist fought. And he still stood up for the truth, for the word of God. And he was rude in speech yet, knowledge. And I didn't take it well. I was a fighter, and man, we almost got into it several times. God was using him to get to me though, and finally. Finally, he had said something to me that clicked in my mind after those months. He explained to me what Jesus said, his last 3 words that he had said on that cross. And the light bulb went off in my head, and that next day, that night, I believe it was that night, I went and got saved. He told me about Jesus when he said, "It is finished." And he told me the story. And I understood that everything that I had been doing my whole life was wrong. I knew that Jesus loved me, that he died for my sins. I knew that he had, was, the Son of God, and but I'd never taken it personal, and I didn't realize that Jesus already did all the work for me. It's His righteousness. Amen. I had no unrighteousness, but I was filled with self-righteousness. But God humbled my spirit, and He brought me, you know, and listen, I'm pretty sure, my wife can correct me if I'm wrong, but the night I went to the cross and I cried out to God and asked Him to forgive me, I was high on drugs. Jesus, He come for those sinners. He's not looking for the man that's just, you know, I'm good. That was me, but I was down in that pit. He still had mercy. But once I understood that Jesus, He paid it all, full. He got a hold of me, and I cried out to Him. I cried out, and I told Him I was sorry. I understood that everything I did up to that point, and everything I will do, He bore it all on the cross. He took my sin from me, and I didn't have to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I had to do. And boom. I've never been the same. I've never been the same. He quickened me. It is God's Spirit that does all the work. It is this. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And He brought me that wisdom, and I just began to search Him out. And Casey, you got to watch a man change. He watched me. Casey kept it simple. He said, just read that Bible. Just read that Bible. Read that Bible. Believe it. And when you're reading it, you got to, the Bible says, the Lord is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him out. When you're reading it, you have to, I use a Webster's 1828, be diligent when you don't know what a word says. Stop right there and look it up and keep going. You can't just go, okay, I'll just skip over that. And that's what we tend to do. We'd be lazy when we're searching out God's word. This holy man, God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's God inspired. We can't depend on our flesh to understand. It's not like a magazine or a book. God has to give you the understanding. But that's what I want you to understand. That's it. All I did was believe God's word and diligently seek Him out. And He made me a believer. And that's what I have. I still don't have any righteousness, just what He imputed into me when I believed on Him. It's not my righteousness, it's His. And man, that's why I'm going to fight this battle. I want to fight this war. I didn't even get a finish looking over my notes. I got about halfway through them. It's been a long work week. Life is full. My life is full, and I don't know why. God has He's stirred me up, and you know I see all this what people call as churches today, and it burdens me that people just they're not getting that word, but the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, boasters. They shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want what feels good in their ears. That's the natural thing, and it's up to us. We gotta preach this word. And I don't know how to preach. All I know is I feel like I'm called, and I want to answer the calling, and I want to preach this Bible. I want people's lives to change like mine did. And if you know what you're fighting, how to fight, and how to call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. I had debated. Let me throw that in there. That's a really good. This is a really good part. Let's go to Psalm 119, verses 11. I'm not ever going to watch this sermon, ever. I'm not ever going to humiliate. Hey, but you know what? The Bible says, clothe yourself in humility. okay? God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. I had to humble myself to come up here because I know what I'm going to look like or what I'm going to sound like. But that's all right. That's all right with me. He resisteth the proud. You know what? I wanted to humble myself and not do my hair tonight. No, I'm just kidding. My hair is not combed because I'm telling you about my old lifestyle, my drugs. I forgot to even comb my hair before I came. It wasn't because I'm spiritual and wanted to look like, I don't care what I look like because I'm, a spiritual guy. But anyways, yeah, that's just in. I looked and I'm like, I did not do my hair. All right. But there's evidence. My wife's like, oh boy. Listen to that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a key verse right there. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditate on God's word. Get it in your head. That's how I fight my drug addiction. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every vain imagination and high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As a drug addict, it's not fun. I get to fight it for the rest of my life. He giveth more grace. I meditate on that word, though, day and night. I have to. If not, I'll be back on the streets. But, man, God has been so good to me, and I'm so thankful. But it's because I've hid God's word in my heart. I mean, that's he gets all the glory. I'm unable. I told you what I've did my whole life, go in and out of prison, gang activity. And the scary thing about my whole life was I didn't belong to a gang. I was just the gang drug dealers. You see, that's what made me, I had a lot of, power. I liked the power I had. You could do anything with money on the streets. It's evil. But now I have God's word in me. I can hide it in me, meditate it on it day and night. I can lead my family. And I tell you what, I've got so much more than I ever deserved. I've got my family, my brothers. Never deserved any of this. I deserved hell. And it'd be a good time to do an invitation. But, Sister Tammy, you want to come up here and play something? When you go to God, you got to understand that He is holy, and that there has to be a penalty for your sin. Okay, there's a penalty for sin, and I can stand before you this day and testify that God has got such a better life for you than what you have right now. If you're backslidden, get on your knees and cry out to God. Be careful. Make sure your sin will find you out. Don't hide your sin. Get it out. I just want to make sure you understand how you get saved. It's not anything. You don't have anything to do with your salvation. Salvation is a person. It's Jesus and what He did on that cross. If you want to get saved tonight, you should. The only thing that'll hold you back is your pride, your mind. It held me back. Casey, I didn't get saved that day you told me. It took months because of my pride. I thought I was saved. I didn't examine myself. Tonight, I want you to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not. Jesus loves you, and you're worth it. No matter where you're at in life, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm.